We are in Nesivo Shalom on Tefillah, continuing on where we left off, but also starting a new topic. We're in the first piece on page Kuf Pei Aleph, Avoda Shebalev Zot Tefillah. The very bottom of the first page, there's a little bet, which is the start of the next topic in the first piece. So we're starting there. That's where we left off last time. He says, La'or ha'amor she'inyan tefillah hu advekut ba'Hashem. In light of this concept that tefillah is all about dvekut with Hashem, that what tefillah is really about when we're davening is that we're trying to cling to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that we're relating to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then we're clinging to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through tefillah. Hu shekatav HaRambam Madregat HaTefillah is relevant to what the Rambam says as he talks about the heights of tefillah. Shehiye, next page, Kuf Pei Bet. Beautiful Lashon of the Rambam of Maimonides, that a person's heart should be opened to on high, as if he were standing in Shemayim, as if he were standing in the heavens. The Rambam says that a person's heart should be open to what's happening on high, ki'ilu hu omeid b'shamayim, as if he was standing in the heavens. That's where a person's mental space should be when they're davening, when they're connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the tefillah. V'chein ha-de'ita b'shulchan aruch, so too does the Shulchan Aruch say. He brings it down halacha l'maisa, meaning he doesn't require us to do it, but he brings it down on the Shulchan Aruch, which is amazing. He says in the Shulchan Aruch, she'achasidim v'anshei maisa, just recording, meaning he's not saying you have to do it, because you can't require somebody to do it, but he's bringing it down in Shulchan Aruch, because this is what we're meant to aspire to in our tefillah that we're required to do. This is what we're required to strive for. She'achasidim v'anshei maisa, that the chasidim rishonim, meaning the pious people of old, and anshei maisa, and the people of great renown, through their tefillah, they were able to get to a level where they would leave their physicality behind. They would totally remove themselves from their physical realities. So they were able to get close to nevuah itself. What's nevuah? Nevuah is when a Kadosh Baruch Hu talks to us. When we mamish feel that we hear the words, we hear the dialogue with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. The mamish are able to remove their physicality, like the Nevi'im who would do tremendous meditation and would completely remove themselves from this world in order to touch the infinite. With nevuah, that's what we're trying to aspire to with every one of our tefillahs, two or three times a day. Dehainu, she'egiu me'rov dvekut lebchinat klut nefesh l'Hashem. That they became so close to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, they became so merged with a Kadosh Baruch Hu in their tefillah, that it was like they were totally given over, their neshama was mamish going to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. V'lachin hayu chasidim arishonim. That's why the earlier people, the pious people of old, as the Gemara records, shohin sha'a achat kodem atfila. They would spend a whole hour before davening. They would spend a whole hour before starting Shmoneh Esrei. To prepare themselves and to contemplate and to reflect in order to get to these tremendously lofty levels, that they should be able to cling to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's something which we mamish need to reconnect to in our day and age. Listen, in our day and age, you can't really spend an hour before tefillah, an hour during tefillah, an hour after tefillah like they did. They would spend 9 hours a day in tefillah. Can you imagine such an existence? They would spend 9 hours a day in tefillah, an hour getting into it, an hour in the existence of tefillah, and an hour coming back down. A totally different reality. But to recognize at the very least the importance of preparation for tefillah, the importance of getting into tefillah when we go to daven. You know, people who would come and talk to me when I was on campus about, especially when they came to talk to me about mincha, you know, that mincha was so challenging. You know, they felt like, on the craziness of college, so like they used to feel it in mincha, and now they would go, they would daven mincha, and they don't feel like they're connecting to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And I would look around, we would daven mincha on campus. So we did Heichi Kedusha, because Chas V'Shalom should be in the room for more than 6 minutes at a time. Right, you know what would happen? We'd go into the room, someone would yell Ashrei, by the time I had the time to say the words, Ashrei Yoshevitecha Odilu Chasela, they'd be yelling Tilat Hashem Yidaber Pi, Kaddish Shmona Esrei, I would take 3 steps back, 3 steps forward, Baruch Atah Hashem, and then that was it, then they were gone, they were in class. Meaning, if there's no preparation for it, in a different example, let's say with a Shacharis, if you want to daven Shacharis, if you're davening in a shul, if you run into Shacharis 5 minutes late, 10 minutes late, for the guys especially, you run in 5 minutes late, 10 minutes late, and then you start putting on your talis and tefillin, And then you take 3 seconds to quickly try to say Psuka de Zimra, or at least part of it, or maybe half of it, or maybe a quarter of it, and then jump in. Meaning, if you're always rushed, if we're always rushed when we're davening, of course we're not connecting. We may not be able to take an hour to get into it, but to at least take a little bit of time, to stop for a second, to reflect, to take in what we're about to do, that we're about to connect with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, that we're about to speak to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Can you imagine if you had a meeting with the king of a nation? You had a meeting with a prime minister. Can you imagine that you would show up if you had a meeting at 8 o'clock? Would you show up at 8:01, schwitzing, sweating your brains out as you run to the door, and then just wipe yourself off for a second and say, "I'm so glad I made it. It's nice to see you." You'd be there at 7:30. You'd be waiting in a seat outside his office at 7:45. You'd be thinking about what you're going to say to him, how you're going to say it. To have a little bit of that in tefillah. A little bit of that in tefillah. So here, you all don't... I assume none of you daven with a meeting here. Especially not this year, correct? Yeah. So you don't even have a schedule. So to make your schedule that when you go to daven shacharis, if you're davening shacharis in the morning, which you should in your chayv, right? That when you daven shacharis in the morning, that when you leave that time, part of the time you set aside to show up 5 minutes early, to sit down, to clear away all the clutter in the Beis Medrash, to be able to be mesader your makom, an organized space as an organized mind, to tidy up the makom that you're sitting at, to put the svarim on the side, to open up the sitter to the page, to look at it and say, okay, I'm about to daven. What does it mean I'm about to daven? To take that in and to reflect on that for a moment. And to leave yourself time to say each tefillah slowly. You know, it was an hour before Shmona Esrei. If you take... Halavai, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 20 minutes to say Birchos HaShachar, Psukei DeZimra, Birchos Kriyat Shema. You take 20 minutes to do that. That's 20 minutes of the hour that they used to spend before Shemona Esrei. You're a third of the way there. Imagine your tefillah gets stronger, you spend half an hour. Imagine you aren't able to sleep and you learn for a half an hour before that. It's actually that's one of the few things that it's brought me in terms of just being able to sit in the Beis Medrash before anybody gets there. Sometimes before the sun even starts to rise. But to be able to like sit there and to just like reflect a little bit, to learn a little bit, to slow down, to not run into tefillah. It's such a joy to not run into tefillah. But to just slowly elevate yourself a little bit. To get into it, to contemplate, to reflect. To learn a sefer on tefillah for 5 minutes before you start. Praying with fire, or any of these perushim on tefillah that they have. To learn about tefillah for 5 minutes. To say that, to read the English when you're saying Hebrew, you don't have no pressure. It's as much time as you want. You have no pressure. There's no minyan to keep on top of for you. And for us who there is a minyan to keep on top of, so to go in a way where we go, I was talking, I'm so impressed by some of these guys this year. Some of them, not all of them. Now it's starting to sift out between the ones I'm impressed by and the ones I'm not impressed by. But the ones that I'm impressed by, really some of the guys this year. One of them talking to me about how even in Leva Torah, they dive into a nice pace in Leva Torah. It's too fast for him. He wants to go slower. How can I manipulate my tefillah so that way I have enough time to slow down even my birkos? I want to say Baruch Hu, and I want to say Shemona Esrei with them. How do I slow it down in a way that's halachically the right way to do it, that I can have extra time to say Birkos Kriyat Shema Shema and Shemona Esrei? Shana Aleph guy asking. It's November. It's November he's asking that. And again, maybe there's only one, and there's only one. But at least there's somebody to reflect on what tefillah is. To think about how do I get deeper into it? How do I take advantage of it? How do I connect to it? How do I take time to get into what tefillah is? Mincha is the hardest tefillah of the day, and the Torah goes on and on and on. He's an earlier work than a Shulchan Aruch. He goes on about how Mincha is the greatest tefillah of the day. Because Shacharis, in theory, Bezrat Hashem, you wake up and it's the first thing you do. There's nothing to get in your way. Mariv, you don't have chayv to say it, and many of you probably don't say it, and that's fine. But Marav, it's all the way at the end of the day, so you finish off your day with it. But Mincha, to stop in the middle of your day, especially this time of year where Sofsman Mincha is at like 4:45, you really have to plan your day thoughtfully around that. You really have to take in the fact that like there's this, the earliest Mincha I think is around noon. So you have from noon to 4:45, and there's a lot going on in that time. On the other hand, there's not so much going on in that time. I have such a long day of learning, I need a little bit of a break. I hear you, but maybe part of that break is connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through tefillah. Maybe don't step out of Seder Vav for 5 minutes to get in a quick mincha. Maybe don't do it that way. Maybe plan it out in advance. Maybe don't try to chop it during announcements. I don't know how valuable announcements are or not, but you should definitely go to announcements. But I'm saying, but maybe not to chop it during announcements. 5 minutes before a class. Do it during the break. And give yourself time. Sit down. Say Ashrei. What's the first words of Ashrei? Ashrei Yoshvei Vitecha Old Yalalu Chasela. How joyous. Ashrei Yoshvei Vitecha. Get to sit in your house. You know who gets to sit in God's house? You do. That's what the base medrash is. You're talking about yourself. Think about that for a second. How joyous is it? I'm getting to sit in your house. Od Yalalu Chasela, and I get to praise you. What a gift. What a gift. Ashrei Am Shekach Alo. How wonderful, how praiseworthy, how joyous are our people that this is their lot. Ashrei Am Shehashem Elokav. Whoa, wow, amazing as a people that Kadosh Baruch Hu is our God. That's how we walk into it. If we just take a minute to get into it a little bit. It doesn't have to be an hour before Shachar, an hour before Mincha, an hour before Marv. We don't have 9 hours a day. You know what we do have? We have 10 minutes before each tefillah. Okay, fine. We have 5 minutes before each tefillah. Okay, let's be real. We have 1 minute before each tefillah. Just 1 minute. To get into the zone. To think about it. We live in such a fast-paced world. To stop. Put your phone on airplane mode. Not on silent. Not on do not disturb. Put it mamash on airplane mode. Commit. Commit. Then if you press the button, you don't even see notifications. Commit. Get into the zone. Say Ashrei. Get into tefillah a little bit. Reflect on it, what it is you're about to do. Nobody's asking you to get to the level of nevuah yet. But if the Shulchan Aruch put it in the Shulchan Aruch, if Rav Yosef Karo put it in the Shulchan Aruch, it means you can get to that level. Every single person in that room, it starts with every day a little bit more each day. A little bit more each day. Getting into tefillah. You know, tonight's shir is the Ilui Nishmat Aaron ben Pinchas. Aaron Pinchas is my father-in-law, Alav Hashalom. He passed away 4 or 5 years ago. My wife, obviously being very young, he had kids later on in life. His whole life was tefillah. I didn't know him so long, and I didn't know him so well. His whole life was tefillah. Every time he'd walk into the house, he'd be sitting there in a rocking chair with a talus over his head. Always. Shacharis, mincha, didn't matter what time of day it was. To sit in tefillah. Can you imagine? I don't know what it means. I wish I knew him earlier. I wish I knew him earlier on in his life. But can you imagine being someone who commits themselves to tefillah so much in their life that when you retire, and when you get old, and when you slow down, and when you're sitting in the house, there's nothing else to do but to daven. Because there's nothing else to do than to connect with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. This is the type of person we're talking about. This is the type of person that we're talking about. This is something we all can achieve. He was an amazing person. I'm saying he wasn't like this wasn't like the Rosh Yeshiva of some crazy yeshiva out there that nobody like, he was a Pasha Yid. He's a Pasha Yid. He also led a lot of congregations in his own way. He's a Pasha Yid. It comes from davening a little bit each day, getting into it, making it real. Getting into it and making it real. Tof. Shemeshav Naliyah, very, very special man. In Ikamosha Katuv Maharal, as the Maharal says in Nesivos Olam, the Sefer Nesivos Olam, Ki Shlemut Ha'avodah Hazot Shel Tefillah, Hu Kimirumaz Amar Chazal, the perfection of this Avodah of Tefillah, is as hinted to by Chazal. Amar Vichista La'olam Ikanis Adam Shir Bet Tzvachim V'achar Kach Yipalo. Rav Chista says that when a person comes to daven, they should go in the amount of space of 2 entryways and then daven. What does that mean? So he says here, he's explaining it al pi chassidus, al pi hashkafa, the Mara, the Mara not chassidus, but al pi hashkafa. Rotze lomar ki reshit yisalek v'yitna eratzmo mikol ha'inim shechutz me'avodah zo, blishu mikuv ha'machshava me'akev et ha'dvek, Dvikut. Im Hashem Yitbarach. V'ichnisa v'petach ha'sheni. Beautiful what he says here. What does it mean you go through? Meaning, halachically speaking, it means that you need to take a minute. When you walk into shul, you don't just walk, take 3 steps back and then 3 steps forward into shul and get into Shemona Esrei. You can't just dump into Shemona Esrei. It means you need to come in, take a few steps, stop for a second, and then you start. Just at least to stop for a second before you start. But the Maharal says here so much deeper than that. Look at the way the Maharal says the Gemara. What does it mean to go through the amount of two p'tachim, two doorways, in order to get into tefillah? He says the first thing you need to do is you need to walk through the first doorway. What's this first metaphysical doorway? To remove all things that are getting in the way of your mind. All things that are clouding your mind. That are keeping you from being able to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That you remove everything from your mind except for I'm now davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Remove everything from your mind except now that I'm connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's so many thoughts to get rid of. So many thoughts to push away. The conversation that you just had with your friend at the dorms. Or the argument that you just had with somebody down in the hallway. The frustrating WhatsApp conversation that you just had with your parents back home in America. The confusing WhatsApp message, which could have meant something good or could have meant something bad, with the boy that you're not supposed to be WhatsApping and wasting your time with in Shana Aleph. The message that you just got from the administration about having something to do with Corona, which either is good news or bad news, but it's impossible to tell anymore. Whatever the thing is that's clouding your mind. Our mind is so clouded all the time. Friendships, relationships, family, the world, everything, every message you get, we get today about the world, it's just like it fills your mind. You think about 18 million things. We can't even have one day to obsess about things like politics in America. It needs to expend for 3 days so that we make sure to lose our minds for an extended period of time. There's no such thing as anything which is just, nothing passes by us right now in this day and age that we're living in. This moment in time that we live in, nothing just passes by. Everything is a thing. I got a WhatsApp from my brother who's in Eish Gesher. And there are a bunch of cases of corona there now. So he got his corona test, and he puts on the WhatsApp chat, the family WhatsApp chat, I came back negative. And everybody goes, Mazel Tov. Where does he go? I'm really upset. And it's like, meaning that all the cheshbonos that we make, he's davening for corona at this point, just so that we can get out of the building. Because then he has antibodies, and then it's fine. And then he does all the cheshbonot that we make. Just think of the way that we're thinking now. He's sitting there waiting for a test from a pandemic disease, hoping that he's positive. And I say it out loud, and I say it on recording because it's everybody in Shana Aleph right now. Right, Leiv is also, they're going to move to capsules in a few days. Right? Probably tomorrow or the next day, it's unclear. Every day it's always pushing it off one more day. But they're going to move to capsules in a couple of days. And it's the same thing. Everybody's like, okay, so now it's just the countdown to everybody getting it. And I'm like, can we bring these in a little tighter? I don't want to get corona. You know, it's like, I told the guys, the second you move into capsules, I don't trust any of you the way that you guys are talking. You don't come near me behind this plastic or without a mask. Don't come anywhere near me. You know? Kol kavod to you all first. Mostly doing what you're supposed to do and keeping it away from yourselves. But you know, like it's everything we overthink. So what's the first petach? Just to let go of everything. Just to let go of everything. And it's not going to happen in a day because most of us don't know how to meditate. Don't have any concept of mindfulness. That's not a dig at anyone. It's just the nature of reality and the nature of the world we live in, the nature of the way that we're brought up. But something to start working on a little bit. To connect to it in a deeper way. To come down. To push away the thoughts of the roommates and the friends and the family and corona and the world and America and Israel and all of the stuff. Just push it all away. Not Kodesh HaKadoshim. You're focusing on Kodesh HaKadoshim and Kodesh Baruch Hu. But all the shtuyot, all the stuff. To be able to just push it away. That takes time. That's the first petach. We go through two p'tachim. We go through two doorways. What's the second doorway? Then we go into the second doorway, where now that I've dropped my bags at the first doorway, sor meira, I've let go of all the negativity, of all of the stuff that's clouding my mind. Now the second one, I'm going into the doorway of connectivity with the Kadosh Baruch. I'm going in to focus on a Kadosh Baruch. It's an amazing thing. Yeah, Gilana. How do you do what?
I'm saying, like, there are so many times I'll just be like, okay, I have to stop thinking about it, and I can't. Like, it doesn't leave.
You have to look it up. You have to start doing work on meditation, mindfulness, all these types of things, on controlling one's thoughts. Meaning, there's different schools of thought on how to do that, ways of either redirecting it, pushing it down, which I'm not such a fan of. There's schools of just like embracing it, let the wave wash over you, let it go, and then you're finally done with it. Instead of trying, meaning, like it's a Chinese finger trap. There are some schools that say that the more you fight it, the more it fights you back, and you can't get rid of it. It's like if I tell you don't think of a pink elephant, the first thing you're thinking of is a pink elephant. It just happened for all of you in the room who are awake, alive, and paying attention. Meaning like that's like meaning that's the sense of just like okay, fine, just like live with the pink elephant for 30 seconds, and then it'll go away because it's not that interesting. Don't fight it.
But the other stuff is much more interesting than pink elephant.
Excuse me, don't diss the pink elephant. That being said, okay, but I've myself have had that struggle. I find that no matter what the thing is, sometimes it could take 10 seconds or 15 seconds or 30 seconds or even a whole minute. If you just let it run its course, if you just dignify it and like let it just run its course, you know, it fizzles out. And again, I've been working on other methods also, and like there are ways you can actually just push things out of your mind and push them off to the side and refocus. And I'm not talking about, like, when you literally, like, you just had a blow-up fight about how you desperately want to come shun a bet with your family and your family is telling you no for now. That's not what I'm talking about. When you go into feel at that moment, that's a very hard conversation to have. I know you're all stressing out about that conversation. It's going to happen soon. Right? Soon. But I'm saying, like, when it's just, like, the regular daily stuff, you can start learning. Again, That's not my share, and there are people who I don't know how to teach it. There are people who teach it much better than I can, and people I've learned it from. And I've been to awesome meditation classes, never long enough, meaning never consistently or long enough. But even the little bit that I've gathered over time has really, really impacted me. And there are really great methods to be able to do that. And that's part of tefillah. Tefillah really is about really a big part of tefillah is meditation. And it's something which is an art that we need to get back into, not in a new agey way, in a real way, to get back into what real meditation is about. Highly recommend just to read, definitely try out the meditations that he has there, but even just the introduction to understand this, the importance of the place of tefillah in daily living is Jewish Meditation by Rav Arya Kaplan Zatzal. Really, really great. Even, you don't have to read the whole book, even just to read the beginning where he discusses the connection between meditation and Judaism, and its connection to Nevuah. How it was a prerequisite for Nevuah, and how, just to get into it.
They just ordered that.
Just Judaism and meditation, or meditation and Judaism. I mean, if you type in Judaism, meditation, Rav Arya Kaplan, the name of the book will come up. But it was a fantastic read. I read it one summer when I was actually, during a summertime in a camp, and I was able to, I was a counselor, and I don't know what I was doing, some sort of base measures program or teaching or whatever, and just to have the time to be able to do it more, meaning that's my point, learn about these things, get into these things. Feel it, just because the whole world is davening, and many of them davening in a way that's not so impressive, get off that bandwagon and make your own. Meaning, start getting into tefillah, what it really is, what he's talking about here. Yeah, you want to tell me that you're doing tshuva and you're coming shana bet? No. Anyway, yeah.
I'm really not against
it. I like that. That was very par. I'm not against the idea. The idea is wonderful. I'm not coming, but I'm not against the idea. Yes.
No, I don't know. I don't know if it's the right term, but he voted Is that like a form of like meditation and tefillah, or just
There are issues that are connected to each other, and it's unfortunately a very charged term as of the last 8 months. Hit bonen nut. Let's just clarify the terms. I know it's one not what you asked about. Like,
so
I'm aware.
Those two different things.
Yes.
Am I saying it wrong?
Hit bonen nut and hit bodedut, which are often confused.
Like in the forest and like crying.
We're right. So hit bonen nut is reflection or contemplation.
Some people call it some part of tefillah.
Yes, both of these are relevant to tefillah, but hit bonenut is reflection or contemplation. That's something which we all should be doing all the time and much more of. And it's something which the Nevi'im of old were already screaming out at us that we need to do. In the beginning of Yeshayahu, I think, yeah. Ami lo tibonan. He cries out, my people are not a contemplative people anymore. That we need to be thoughtful. He's talking about Jews. Again, sound familiar to anyone? He's talking about Jews who are going and they're bringing korbanos and doing all this stuff while they're busy, you know, knocking over the poor and doing averas left and right. It's like, stop with the korbanos. Stop shechting animals. It's bal tashchis. It's not about doing random things that make you feel frum. It's about being Jewish. It's about being real. It's about being a Jew. Hit bonenut. Reflect a little bit. Don't just Don't why would you run into a room, mumble words for 30 seconds, not say any of the words clearly, not think about a Kadosh Baruch Hu? Why are you wasting your time and mine, says a Kadosh Baruch Hu? Why are you doing that? Reflect a little, contemplate a little. Now, another level of that, a different form of that, which is, I mean, mostly a Hasidic concept, but also everybody should be doing, recognizing that it's a charged concept over the last 8 months. Hitbodedut is milashon levad, which means technically isolation. Now, it doesn't mean locking yourself in a room for 2 weeks. Bidud, right, you were in bidud. So again, it's a charged term because of the world that we live in, but hitbodedut is being by yourself. That's really the idea, being by yourself. Most people, to be by themselves, go to a solitary place, usually not locked indoors. Again, that's bidud for corona, that's not hitbodedut. Right, so the forest is a classic place where a lot of Hasidim will go, out into the forest to be both isolated, but the beauty of it is, why would you go to the forest? Because you're isolated, but you're in nature, meaning you feel alone in the life of the world, you feel alone connected to life, you feel alone with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's about being alone with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Now, a person doesn't need to go to the forest to do that. A person doesn't need to lock themselves in a room to do that, but both are legitimate. But hitbodedut is a way, amongst many other things, to do hitbonenut. But also to connect with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Because when I'm by myself, I cut myself off, like he's talking about, from all those other things, and I can connect with Hashem. Both are important and central to tefillah. Sometimes it's incredible to just, on a Friday night, to get with a big chever of people and to get to a Karabach Minyan and to sing your heart out with 100 people and to feel the koach of the room. And sometimes, especially people like me, I like to just, you know, scooch into the front corner of the shul with the tallis over my head before anybody gets there for shacharis. I have no idea how many people are there. I assume there's a minyan. By the time we get up to Baruch Hu and Shmona Esrei, I don't know. And I just keep the tallis on. And for me, I always get around that. I like to daven biyachidus in a minyan. That's how I'm able to daven in a minyan, without getting into all this, the politics and the seats and the shtuyot and the... I need to just put the tallis over my head, sit on the side, and just, I know what time Baruch Hu and Shmona Esrei is going to be, and I'm not saying this is a good thing to do, but for me it works for tefillah. I like to daven biyachidus in a minyan. That's again, even among in a minyan, that's a little bit of hitbodedut. So you can do it anywhere. You really, the idea of hitbodedut is to really be, again, by alone in the forest, by yourself, beseder, but the idea of reflecting, contemplating, and also just connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu one-on-one, and that's ultimately the point here of what we're trying to talk about. And those are those two doors that we're talking about going through. The Maharal is explaining the Gemara in this beautiful way of cutting yourself off from all other things, of breaking away from all other things, of cutting your mind off from all of the distractions. And again, Aleph Beis. It's not even Aleph Beis. It's pre-alphabet. Turn your phone off. Turn it on airplane mode. Turn it off or on airplane mode. That's Aleph Beis. And then to go and to cut your mind off from everything else. And then to walk in the second doorway and connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with a clear mind. To connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I think we still do this. I don't know, it doesn't really come up so much. Once your kids get to a certain age, it sort of doesn't really matter so much. But my wife and I were mindful of the fact at a certain point. And we made a point of making sure that when we came home and the other person was home, of hanging up the phone, if we were on the phone, hanging up the phone before we walked in the house. So that way we could actually greet each other like human beings. Same idea. I mean, that wasn't because you read in the Sivo Shalom. It's even like this is a nice thing, like, I'm saying like, in our marriage, that was something that we thought of. Was like, we just noticed that when we come in on the phone, it's not nice to the other person. It doesn't show cuddle to each other, that we love each other. When you walk in, it's like, you like nod or, you know, like throw a hand up or whatever it is because you're busy focused on something else. When you walk in the house, you're coming back into the bite, you're reconnecting. So too, when you're taking 3 steps forward, you're walking to a bite with a Kadosh Baruch Hu. When you're walking to the Beis Medrash, you're walking to a bite with a Kadosh Baruch Hu, to turn off the phone, to come in and to focus on the person who you came to focus on, to the being who you came to focus on, that's a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Some of these things are easy fixes. You don't have to read books or watch, you know, or go to classes on how to turn off your phone. You don't need to read books or go to classes on how to reset your alarm to show up 5 minutes earlier to davening. How to actually cut off those thoughts. How to get into davening more. That's where the real avoda is. But the things here that are before that even are all things that we can do. They're things that we all can do. Let's take it a little forward. Next paragraph. Umatzinu bikuzarin. We find in the Sefer of the Kuzari, b'inyan tefillah, on the topic of tefillah, v'zeh lishono, mi'ut zichron olam haba b'tefillah, u'mishum sham itpalel li'itabek b'or ha'loki b'chayav. The reason why, says the Kuzari, we don't talk about olam haba in tefillah so much, is because the goal is for the mispalo, for the person who's davening, to cling to the or of Hashem now, in my life right now. I'm not focusing my tefillah on olam haba. I'm focusing on connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu right now in olam hazeh, and to connecting to the or of Hashem in olam hazeh. Ad shu bipalel lirotoh be'enav, to the point where mamish davening ki'ilu to be able to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu with our own two eyes. Bipalel al madrigat hanivu'ah, and to daven that we should be able to have nevuah, that we should be able to see, connect to, speak with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ve'ein korva la'adam ela elokim gdola mimena. There's no closer thing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu than this. Kvar yitpalel bli safek al mashu gadol me'olam haba. V'imagi elav yagi al olam haba. That we're already davening for something that bli safek, without any question. It's even greater than olam haba to be able to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and olam hazeh. And if we get to that, if we achieve that mamash, we're going to get to olam haba no matter what. So says the Kuzari. He continues on like Kuzari. He's not done yet. Kimisha davka nafsho b'inyan ha'eloki, kishihi truda b'mikrei haguf umach ovav. Because a person whose soul connects to godliness when we're distracted with our physicality, with our pain and our distractions and our difficulties in this world. Kol shekein shidabik b'olam haba, beautiful. Meaning a person, I didn't know that's where he was going with that. He says a person who's able to cling to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, despite the fact that I have a body, despite the fact that I have so much going through my mind, despite the friends and the relationships and the politics and the family and the world, if I can connect to God despite that, if I can connect to God despite the fact that either, and it's always one of the two, the second I take three steps forward, either I'm starving and can't wait for the next meal, or I'm so full I just want to lie down. Right? I'm never just good. The second that I take three steps forward, all I can do is think about my body. If I'm able to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and feel completely ruchni, when I have a physical body weighing me down and endless thoughts jumping at me, and I could do it anyway, kal v'chomer, how much closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu am I going to be when I get to Olam Haba? If I can connect him like that in Olam Hazeh, if I can connect him despite that in Olam Hazeh, think of how close it's going to be in Olam Haba. Beautiful what the Kuzari says. Ad kan l'shono. V'opiyah mevo'ar. Again, this is all about the same point, that the main point of tefillah is connection, to cling to HaKadosh Baruch. Umashma'ut miyuchedet al pize bilshono shel harambam b'perek aleph mipirkei ha'atzlacha. And the Rambam says about this, hamitpalel yiyeh pnuya l'Hashem yiparach, ponel l'Hashem yiparach, that one who's davening needs to turn to HaKadosh Baruch. Omer al raglav mitaneg b'libo v'isfatav, to stand up and to have joy in my heart, to have joy on my lips. I'm not just saying the words. I'm singing. Even if it's not out loud, I'm singing the song of tefillah. I'm singing the song of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You know, there was another yurt site this past week. The yurt site of Shlomo Karabach. Who reminded the world that we don't just say words. He taught the world how to sing again. He taught the whole Jewish world how to sing again. It's an incredible thing to take words of Tehillim, to take words of Tefillah, and to sing them with joy. We forget that that's the Avoda. And it's an incredible thing. We said that Tefillah is Avoda. Yeah, that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. He wants you to work on yourself and work on yourself and work on yourself. That when you come, you're smiling and you're singing and you're joyous with Him. He doesn't want to put a yoke on your neck and you to feel a heavy burden on your shoulders. That's not what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. He wants you to sing. He wants you to be with joy. We start at the beginning of every year. The Lev guys in the morning, so we learned from the beginning of Shulchan Aruch. We just did it was like a month ago already, but it feels fresh. It was so beautiful. I forgot this beautiful point. The Shulchan Aruch says at the very beginning that a person should be do'egu meitzara beis hamikdash always. A person should always be anxious and upset about the fact that they don't have beis hamikdash. And on the spot, you know what the Mishnah Berurah says? Except for when you're learning Torah and davening. Then you have to be happy. Then this halacha doesn't apply. You're supposed to be happy during tefillah. We're connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So get back into that with song. Get back into that with joy. Feel the joy in your lips. Feel a smile curl on your mouth when you go to daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When you say Ashrei Yehoshua Bevitecha. When you say Mizmor L'Todah. When you say Kadosh, Kadosh. And you join the Malachim to sing the praises of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When you know you're able to turn to the one who can give you anything and you ask him, please help me because I know you can. Not because I'm worried you won't. Not because I don't know what I'm going to do. But because I know that you can do anything. So if I'm asking you, I know it can happen. To sing again, to connect again, to be real again. No more lip service. Avoda Shabalev. Avoda Shabalev. Yeah.
Not like davening, like let's say I'm Shema Kli, like I talk to Hashem. Like I say the same things at Mincha, I say the same things that I'm saying. Are you supposed to constantly say the same things, or just
So two things. Number one is the goal is to get into it in a way where you're bringing something new to it each time. The experience of the day should change it. My Shema Kolenu, hear my voice, crying out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Especially nowadays, the world is moving so fast. What you want at Shacharis usually is very different than what you want at Mincha. But even if it's not, so again, pick up that Jewish meditation book by Rav Aryeh Kaplan. He talks about there, for example, there are meditations like mantra meditation. Mantra meditation is about saying the same thing again and again and again to get deeper into it and experience deeper levels by saying the same thing. This is what the Anshei Kesedola were doing. They knew what they were doing. This wasn't a joke, and this wasn't a desperate, you know, last-ditch attempt to at least give us something to do because we weren't going to have korbanos anymore. They knew what they were doing. They were incredibly deep people. We don't understand tefillah. We need to get back into tefillah. We need to read about tefillah. We need to re-engage tefillah from a totally different angle. A totally different angle. When davening in high school, it feels like visions of a prison. Like people chained in rows, sitting there for 22 minutes of uninspiring mumbling, maybe but probably not, with a bunch of jailers walking up and down the aisles, checking to see if you're, on your phone or your sitter's open. Are you on the right page? Are you saying the words? Are you taking attendance? Certainly not davening with you. And if they are, they're mumbling worse than you're mumbling. Meaning we don't remember what tefillah is. So many minyanim that when I was in Chutz La'aretz that I would go to, the fact that there's such a thing, I always get around about it because the fact that it has a name and the fact that we dignify it and own it to me is just so crazy. The fact that you can have something called a matzah minyan. How long does it take to make matzah? 18 minutes or less. That's a matzah minyan, 18 minutes or less. How can you daven? How can you daven? Nothing. Nothing. How can you daven shacharis in 18 minutes or less? How do you do that? And even if you can, which you can't, even if you can, why would you want to? My point is if this is the culture of tefillah that we grew up in, each one in our own way with variations. Not all of you went to the high school that I went to. Not all of you went to the minyanim that I went to. But with them at slight variations, we just need to erase, delete, cleanse the whole system, and start fresh in terms of what is tefillah.
So every single tall person in
question
is fresh.
Yeah, of course. And sometimes, again, first of all, again, there's a lot to look into here in terms of what tefillah is, how to relate to it each time, how to relate to the meditative side of it. I'm saying do some learning on it first. It's not going to happen just because you want it to be different and you ask the questions and now it should magically be different, meaning it takes work. Avoda shebalev, it's avoda, it's work. But I'm saying even without that, just without the information, we're coming from a totally different place. We need to completely reorient what it is that tefillah is to us. Completely reorient from scratch what tefillah is.
Also, isn't tefillah kind of different than religion?
Shacharis, Mincha, the Chiyuv is the same. The Chiyuv is the same, the requirement's the same. And Dafka, because, the Anshei Knesset Gola said, why, even though it's time-bound, why are women obligated? Because they need Rachamim also. Meaning, we were all given Tefillah because we all need to daven. And we're all given it at the same time, equally. In theory, there's no difference. I don't know why there would be a difference. There shouldn't be any difference. Not that I'm aware of. Certainly not, meaning again, maybe at a later stage of life, Ishatul Mustachat, married, kids, Truda, it's a whole different conversation. But at this stage of life, in my understanding, there's no difference whatsoever. We both have an obligation to elevate our tefillahs in a whole different way, and to start from scratch, to rewrite what tefillah is, to rethink what tefillah is, to re-meditate what tefillah is, as though everything that we did before wasn't, and to start fresh. What is my relationship with the Kaddish Baruch Hu? Why am I davening twice or three times a day? What does it mean? How do I connect? How do I keep it fresh each time? How am I supposed to deepen it each time? To really spend the time to get into it. It'll change your life. It'll change your life. And it'll change your relationship with the Kaddish Baruch Hu, because that's ultimately what it's about. That's what he's talking about. It's Dvekut Bashem. It's twice a day that you get to just cling to God with nothing else in the world. If we could access that, what an incredible thing. What an incredible thing. There was one time I was working at a particular summer camp. This was many years ago. I was working at a summer camp, and the tefillah there was just painful. It really broke my heart. It was such a painful tefillah. They had the younger kids daven first, and the older kids daven. And I would go start at the beginning of the younger kids davening, and finish around 15 minutes after the second meeting after the older kids davening. They would just fly. They would manage just fly through the tefillah. There was no words being said. I don't know what was going on there. And I had this wonderful group of older girls in chinuch. And I asked it from a genuine place. I was like, listen, I'll be honest with you. I hate tefillah here. And they're making you guys daven every day. Do you like it? Do you hate it? Do you care about that? Like, what do you make of it? And they were all like, no, we can't stand it. It's terrible. I don't daven on principle because it's not even a tefillah. I was like shocked that like, yeah, I'd even thought about it in that way. You know, like, they were like, it's not real davening. And I'm just going to be forced to like spend a couple of words and like that fast. Like, it's not even real davening. Can't keep up with the chazan. I was like, wow, that's your issues? Those are great issues to have that you can't keep up with the chazan. So I said to them, I was like, listen, what do you want? What do you want? And by the way, you ask, different for men and women, I held myself back, but the answer is I think you'll have an easier time connecting than I do. That's the only difference. You know what they said to me? It's a bunch of regular day school, you know, high school girls. We talked it out for like half an hour, and I made this pitch. It was not an easy pitch to make. I got us during davening a separate room, and it started at the same time. You couldn't walk in a second after the regular meeting. It couldn't be an excuse to show up late to davening. You had to walk in at the exact same time. I got an empty room, because I believe in these concepts for a long time. This was years ago that I did this. Empty room. Siddurim throughout the room. Books on tefillah throughout the room. Tehillim throughout the room. The rule was you had to be on time. You couldn't use an excuse to be late. No, you couldn't cut off time through it. You had to be on time, like the door was closed as soon as davening started. You had to leave at the same time it ended. And there was only one rule in the room. You're not allowed to talk to anyone except for a Kaddish Baruch Hu. 30 minutes. At the halavai, it was that long. Let's pretend it was 30 minutes. I think it was 30 minutes. 30 minutes. You can't talk to anybody but a Kaddish Baruch Hu. If you want to come, come. If not, you have to go to the regular minyan. Every single girl of that age group, except for one or two girls, came. Nobody spoke. Everybody was davening or reading. Every day. I couldn't have planned for this. Every day a different girl would come up to me. Tears in her eyes. You don't understand. I just talked to Hashem for the first time. Think about the insanity that we've institutionalized tefillah in a way where it keeps people from being able to talk to God. It's crazy. It's crazy. It's mamish insanity. And we need to rethink it. We need to rethink it. We created it before it was a thing. We created bidud, but with people. 30 minutes a day of bidud, you and Hashem, with everybody else in the room, everybody spread out. And you guys you're not going to minyan. You can do this. Your Yitzhahara will tell you you can't because she's davening better and this other one's in the base medicine and not chuckling enough and I have to run to class. It's all shziyot, it's all Yitzhahara. Most of you, with all due respect, are probably not davening both tefillahs. Some of you probably aren't davening at all still yet anyway. And it's not a critique. Just Lamaisa at this point in Shana Aleph, I know that that happens to be the case. Most of you probably aren't davening it anyway. So tomorrow, do it. Tomorrow, go into the base medrash. Don't feel any social pressure. Nobody knows what you're doing or cares what you're doing. If it makes you feel better, sit there with an arshul sitter open in front of you, not saying any of the words. Sit there and talk to Hashem. That's what he wants. And let that be the foundation for a whole new tefillah. Let that be the foundation for tefillah. We need to reset. We need to restart. We need to reconnect with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. We're not connecting with. That's what tefillah is supposed to be about. Every day, I couldn't believe it. Every day, I talked to Hashem for the first time. We all need to talk to Hashem for the first time again. All of us. Continues on the Rambam. Yadav prushrot v'chol diburo hogim medabrim. With our hands spread out up to Shamayim. With our speech properly arranged and to speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'yeter chalakav charadim v'niradim v'lo yasir mehanaim kolot arevim. To just go and to sing, to connect and to sing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. To speak sweetly with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Mitabek mechinatzmo, to cling to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to prepare ourselves. Mitchanein, to supplicate. Korea umishtachavet, to bow. Literally and figuratively, to bow ourselves to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Lof boche, to cry. To cry. Anybody who's never cried in tefillah, Hashem should bless you. You should be able to cry in tefillah soon. To feel that. If you ever had that experience, you know what it's like. To really to just cry when you're davening. To cry because you're standing in front of the King of Kings. You're standing in front of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, to just cry. And to be completely immersed till your soul mamish moves up into a whole transcendental state. That you become totally subjugated. And that your soul removes itself from the whole physical world, from the world of senses, and just goes into a totally transcendental state. Ad kam lishno. Again, this is the Rambam we're talking about. The Rambam, the Kuzari, the Shulchan Aruch. The people who people don't like to daven with that kind of energy like to turn to hide behind. These are the people who are saying, this is how you need to daven. The rationalists. This is how the rationalists daven. Imagine how the Hasidim daven. This is how the rationalists daven. Imagine how the Hasidim daven. Imagine how the real Mispalalim. They were Mispalalim. How the Hasidim daven. It's a whole different thing. This is what we should be striving for. And this is every something we can all achieve. Kulot siyor nifla alinyan tfila shekulat vikuti la'it. This is all this tremendous depiction of a tefillah that's completely clinging to that which is beyond. V'alpi darkeinu, based on what we said, we're in the next paragraph, I launched on the bottom of the page. V'alpi darkeinu ki shoresh ha-tefillah hu advekut ba-Hashem, based on this premise that tefillah is about connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, yitba'er inyan bakashat rachamim HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We can understand what it means that we have to ask for rachamim, ask for mercy from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Dilichora halora chamav yiparach himabli gvul vasof. Hakadosh Baruch Hu's rachamim are without any end. Ve'ohevet kol echad miYisrael, and He loves every single one of you. Even you who's thinking to yourself, "Yeah, everybody else, but not me so much." Yes, you also, just as much. Hakadosh Baruch Hu loves every single one of you. Uvenei bechori kareinu. He calls us Bani Bechori, His firstborn child, His most beloved child. U'mashayach l'orer rachmei aval bein bechoro. And there's always rachamim for the child. The father always has rachamim for the child. Achen ha-beor bazeh al-pi ma shemevi, top of the next column, Yisod ha-avodah. B'shem ha-mor nevuchim. To understand this, we turn to the Mor Nevuchim, which says, also the Rambam. This is the Aslanimer explaining the Rambam in the Mor Nevuchim. Shekol ha-mikrim ha-ra'im, v'itgavrut ha-dinim al ha-adam, that all of the negative things, and all of the dinim, all of the harsh judgments that come on a person, himrak be'et yafsik ha-dvikut v'ashem, it's only when we mentally disconnect from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If I'm focused on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, nothing can happen to me. Nothing bad can happen to me. I'm clinging to Hashem. Every moment that I'm mentally clinging to Hashem, nothing can happen to me. Aval b'shashu davuk b'Hashem ein shum mikra ufega ra yachol lishlot alav. When I'm clinging to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, nothing can happen to me. V'zein anashal tefillah. And this is what tefillah is about. Shal yidei shvichut libo nochach b'nei Hashem. When I pour my heart out like water before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yavol v'ikut b'Hashem. When I share, that's what connects us. That's what connects us more than others. I know we've talked about this before, but we need to repeat it again and again and again. That's what connects us. What connects me to my wife more than anybody else? Because when I need to talk to somebody, I need to share my deepest, the deepest parts of my soul, I can tell her. I can tell her. I can talk to her. That's what makes us close, is that I've been able to cry in front of her, that I've been able to share her my failings. I've been able to share with her my greatest wants in this world. I can share with her what I need. I can share with her what I hope for in a way that I wouldn't share with anybody else. That's part of what binds us together emotionally. That's part of what that relationship is all about. That's what we're trying to do with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's part of what I was trying to say before, Adina. Every day we change. Every day you're not... No, I'm being serious. I'm relating to your point. Every day we change. Between Shachar and Mincha, what I want and what I need changes. Again, especially in this day and age.
But not much has changed.
The routine's the same. But you're a different person. Because if you're going to class, if you're hearing shiurim, if you're getting an average of 100 notifications between Shachar and Mincha, if you're talking to 30 people, if you're hearing shiurim that are about what it means to relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or about His Torah, about Halacha, whatever it is, being challenged in new ways, talking to incredible teachers in Madrichot and Rakazot, if you're eating food here and feeling one way or another about it, you know, or you're reading articles about it and then thinking about how you're thinking about it in a different way, and then wondering why I'm getting so hard on you when you're trying to think about it in the way that you thought I was trying to tell you to think about it in the first place. Meaning whatever the thing is, meaning our lives, but my point is that our lives are full of dynamism. If we're living life, we're alive, then we're growing, we're moving, we're changing, we're being impacted. Just from Shacharis to Mincha. From Shacharis to Mincha today. I went back, took my kids to school, went in and learned halacha with a bunch of halakha. I sent them down, had seder with them, had shir with them, understood the Gemara differently with them. Went to a meeting about how to recruit guys for next year over Zoom when they hate Zoom in the first place and have no care in the world to be on Zoom in the first place. And then to go back and prepare for seder, and then to daven mincha. If those things don't change me, there's something wrong with me. The fact that I had to say the words, are we talking to them as though, meaning when we're pitching the school, are we talking to them as though next year is going to be a year like last year? Or are we selling them on how great we handle Corona because we're assuming that, because they're in the headspace that it's going to be Corona next year also? Just to even say the words, then and now, brings tears to my eyes. Are we, you don't have a choice, we have to talk about it because we have to know how we're pitching the school. But to even say the words out loud, to even entertain the possibility that this is going to be here in the beginning of 5782, yeah, that changes my mincha. Yeah, that changes my mincha. Yeah, I'm not as lucky as you. I didn't get to sit with Mrs. Hochhauser and Mrs. Snyder and Rabbi Rosner and Rav Meir and Mrs. whoever else there is here. I don't know. I'm a Night Seder guy. I don't know anybody here. But all the other people who are here, I don't believe that. And if you're not getting anything out of it, then you should be crying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Hashiveinu, Hashiveinu, that you should return me to your Torah, that I can connect to your Torah and the amazing Shirim that I have. Either way. I'm saying I'm not judging you. My point is that either you're connecting or you're not connecting. Either you're connecting and it's making you move farther, or you're not connecting and it's gotta hurt to sit in shir. I'm not saying you. It's gotta hurt to sit in shirim all day and not still connect with anything. But either way, you're dynamic, whether you like it or not. And if you feel disconnected from that, then start making meetings with people to start getting in touch with who you are, not you personally. I'm saying somebody who's not. They need to start making meetings to start getting in touch with who you are. With your emotional world. You're in seminary to have your relationship between Shacharis and Mincha to have your relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu not change in seminary during Corona when you can't even leave. Like, that's something which needs to happen. And if it's not, again, it's not a fault. It's not a critique. It's an opportunity to recognize that I need to dig deeper into myself. Think about it. Think about it.
So much like.
Good, then it'll impact your marv. Okay, so that's exactly the point. Let's take it forward. Again, this is what tefillah is about, by pouring my heart out before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Again, by pouring my heart out, by sharing with HaKadosh Baruch Hu what I'm thinking, what I'm feeling. That's what draws me close. And that sweetens all the judgments. That sweetens all the judgments. When a child comes to you and they cry that they need something, they mamish, not they complain, complaining is so irritating. When they actually mean it and they cry. If you've ever had a niece or a nephew, you babysat, kal v'chomer and b'shat v'mitzlacha, when your kids come to you crying that they need something, it doesn't matter that you can't do it. It doesn't matter that it doesn't make sense. All you want to do is give to them. All you want to do is give to them. That's it. All you want to do is give to them. So to buy a Kadosh Baruch Hu. You come, you cry to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, he just wants to give. All he wants to do is give. And he can change anything he can change. And give you exactly what you need. And this is the rabbis have explained that which it says in Masechet Brachot. Wild line. Afilu cherev chadam unechet al tzavaro shel adam al yitya'esh min harachamim. Even though, Aleinu, you're standing there in the moment where the executioner's sword is on your throat. The executioner's sword is on your throat. You feel the steel begin to cut into your skin. And you're at the end of your life. Al yitya'esh min harachamim. If you're still breathing, you can still daven. If you can still daven, anything can happen. Imagine that. Imagine recognizing that you can, even in that moment, imagine recognizing that even if you're in a place where you're at the end, now put that into some b'shat shem, to any of us, but put that into our terms. How many times have we looked at our best friend, at our parent, at our loved one and said, I'm at the end. I'm mamish at the end. I can't anymore. That's the sword on your neck. That's when you turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He can turn it all around. In a flash, he can turn it all around. The beauty of Purim, which I'm not going to get derailed on, even though I want to. V'na'afochu. The beauty of Purim, v'na'afochu. He could turn anything around. There's a decree that goes around that says all the Jews are going to die on the... Okay, so then there's another decree. They're all going to live and fight back and everything's going to be great. Why? Because we davened. Because we fasted and davened for 3 days. With tefillah, you can do anything. There's no. If you're still alive, you can still daven. If you can still daven, everything can change. Everything can change. To put it into harsh terms, Rav Natana, who used to teach here at Night Seder also, I feel blessed that I get to learn with you, because I know if he were here, you'd all be in his shir, because he's much better than I am. Rav Natanel is, he gave the sicha before Ne'ilah on Yom Kippur in Lev this year. First time evidently in many years. And one of the things that he said that was so powerful, one of the many things he said that was so powerful, is he actually said, he said that we daven for so many things. In the Avinu Malkeinus, One of the things is menamagi famina chalatecha. Remove the plague from our midst. He says, could you imagine? Could you imagine if 12 months ago we actually had kavana? But at that time, who thought that we'd actually have to mean what we said? Last year, I could tell you, I didn't even notice it. This year I fell behind because I had my towels over my head and I was crying into my sitter. We can turn it around with tefillah. We can change everything with tefillah. There could be a vaccine tomorrow. HaKadosh Baruch Hu could make it disappear tomorrow. He could do whatever he wants tomorrow. You're fighting with your roommates? Yeah, you can have Shalom Bayis tomorrow. You're fighting with your family? You could connect with your family tomorrow. You're struggling to connect with your classes? You could feel inspired tomorrow. I apologize. I apologize. I sold you short. You could end Corona right now. You could connect to your family right now. You could fix all your roommate problems right now. With just a tefillah. If you really daven, and if you really cry, if you really mean it, you're pouring your heart out to he who can do anything. That's the idea. That's what we're saying here. That's what the Gemara is saying here. If you're still breathing, you can still daven. If you can still daven, you can change anything. You can change anything. So, we're going to stop here. B'zrachem, we'll pick up next week. And we'll take it from here. Shkoach, everybody.